ما بعد. نبتدي with رسالة لطيفة جامعة
في أصول الثقة المهمة للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. Then we are on the 10th and final chapter. The chapter with regard to Al-Amr wa Nahi, commands and prohibitions, Al-Fadh al-Umum, wordings of generality, and Al-Ijtihad wa Taqlid. So we reached the point that last time we had was page 115, that Wal-Ibratu bi-Umum al-Lafz la bi-Khusus al-Sabab. What is considered is the generality of the wording, not the specific cause of legislation. And he continues and follows up by saying, وَيُرَادُ بِالْخَاصِ الْعَامِ. And the specific, the khas, can be used to mean that which is general. In a footnote here, they say, such as his saying, He the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيِّ. Surah At-Talaq, 65th Surah, the first ayah. With the explanation, O Prophet. Mm-hmm. Obviously in the context of Talaq, along with Talaq, which follows, he said, what is meant by it? He said, here it's an address to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet. He said, what is meant by it is the nation in general. The nation of Islam, the Islamic nation in general. As proven by his saying, He the Most High. إِذَا تَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ. Same ayah, Surah At-Talaq, 65th Surah, continuation of the ayah. So in other words, the first part of the ayah is addressed directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet. Then it's followed by إِذَا تَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, with the explanation, if you, plural, divorce the women. He said, and he did not say إِذَا إِذَا طَلَّقْتَ, if you, singular, divorce them. In other words, the address there in is clearly to the nation, because in the plural, addressed to the nation, that if the people, men of the nation divorce the women. So in other words, the first part, addressed to the Prophet, it's specific in wording, but what is meant is general. He said, continuing, وَعَكْسُهُ مع وجود القرائن الدالة على ذلك. He said, and vice versa. The opposite is the case. Sometimes the general can be used to mean something which is specific. He said, so and vice versa, when there are contextual evidences to show that. In a footnote they say, give an example of this, and the opposite is the case. When the wording is general, but what is meant is something more specific. I give the footnote and say, such as his saying, He the Most High, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ, Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 97, with the explanation, and Allah has the right upon mankind that they perform Hajj to the house. He said, so, an-nas, mankind, is a general wording which covers the one who is able and the one and others besides. Covers the one who is able to perform it and other than him. And what is meant by it here is the one who is capable. I mean, not everyone who is addressed, who literally falls under that address, is meant here. Rather, it's the one amongst them, those who are capable of doing it. He said, as proven by the contextual evidence in the wording, in his saying, He the Perfect, Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Same surah, third surah, Ali Imran, third surah, same ayah, ayah 97. With the explanation, whoever is able to make his way to it. In other words, that's a proof that was the initial address that was generally in general. Is what's meant by it is actually that which is specific, something more specific. as a side point here from Sheikh Abdullah al-Fawzan, he said, and he mentions that the general, the arm, is divided into three categories. The general rule that the arm is divided into three categories, three types, he said. So therefore, the general, the arm, is of three types. Firstly, armun mahfuz, the general wording that is preserved. And it is the general wording that remains upon its generality and is not entered by any takhsis, by something making it more specific. As occurs in his saying, He the Most High, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. I with the explanation that there is no creature except Allah is the one who provides its provision. He said, Al-Shafi'i said, obviously Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, he said, this is arm, this is general. There is nothing to make it more specific. Meaning, is there any mukhassis, is there anything to make it more specific than the wording? Is there any creature upon the earth whose provision is provided by other than Allah? No. So what is this called? This is called Al-Aam Al-Mahfuz, which are the preserved generality. And it is the general wording that remains upon its generality, which is not entered upon by any particularization, takhsis. The second type of arm is Al-Aam Al-Makhsus, the general wording that has been made specific. Been made more specific. And this is that which has been entered upon by something that causes it to be more specific. And this is abundant in the texts of the book and the sunnah. Then he mentions the third category. He said, it is that which the Shaykh mentioned, meaning Imam As-Sa'di here. So that was the Shaykh mentioned. Al-Aam al-Ladhi yuradu bihi al-Khas. The general text, which is such that what is meant by it is something specific. He said, the Shaykh said, when there are evidences, contextual evidences to prove that. Meaning that the basic rule, the asl, is that a general text is taken to be upon its generality. And a specific text is taken to be upon its being specific. That's the general rule. Allahu a'lam. Then he continued with the main text and said, وَخِتَابُ الشَّارِئِ لِوَاحِدٍ مِنَ الْأُمَّةِ أَوْ كَلَامُهُ فِي خَضِيَّةٍ جُزْئِيَّةٍ يَشْمَلُ جَمِيعَ الْأُمَّةِ وَجَمِيعَ الْجُزْئِيَّاتِ إِلَّا إِذَا دَلَّ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى الْخُصُوصِ وَفِعْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْأَصْلُ فِيهِ أَنَّ أُمَّتَهُ أُسْوَتُهُ فِي الْأَحْكَامِ إِلَّا إِذَا دَلَّ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّهُ خَاصٌ بِهِ وَإِذَا نَفَى الشَّارِئُ عِبَادَةً أَوْ مُعَامَلَةً فَهُوَ لِفَسَادِهَا أَوْ نَفَى بَعْضَ مَا يَلْزَمُ فِيهَا فَلَا تُنْفِي لِنَفِي بَعْضِ مُسْتَحَبَّاتِهَا وَتَنْعَقِدُ الْعُقُودُ وَتَنْفَسِخُ بِكُلِّ مَا دَلَّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ فِعْلٍ. He said, and the address of the legislator to one of the nation, and his speech about a specific issue, applies to all of the nation and all specific issues, unless there is a proof showing that it is particular. And regarding his sallallahu alaihi wasallam action, then the basic rule is that his nation are to take him as an example to follow regarding rulings, unless there is a proof to show that it is something specific to him. And if the legislator negates an act of worship or transaction, then it is because it is invalid. Or if he negates something essential to it, to negate something essential to it, so it will not be negated on account of the negation of some of its recommended aspects. And contracts are rendered effective or invalid by every saying or action that indicates this. Then the text continues, they don't bring any footnotes there, the text continues. المسائل قسمان مجمع عليها فتحتاج إلى تصور وتصوير وإلى إقامة الدليل عليها ثم يحكم عليها بعد التصوير والاستدلال. He said, issues, masail, issues are of two types. Those which there is agreement about. So this type requires that it be understood and correctly pictured, and that its proof is established for it. Then its ruling is given accordingly, after it has been correctly pictured and proven by the evidence. In a footnote here, they say, since passing a ruling upon something, they've quite the famous saying that the scholars quite often mention, Al-hukm ala shay far'un an tasawwurihi. Since passing a ruling upon something follows on, literally it's a detail of, meaning it follows on from, correctly understanding it. Then they mention the second, he mentions in the main text the second category. He said, وَقِسْمٌ فِيهَا خِلَافٌ فَتَحْتَاجُ مَعَ ذَلِكَ إِلَى الْجَوَابِ عَنْ دَلِيلِ الْمُنَازِئِ هَذَا فِي حَقِّ الْمُجْتَهِدِ وَالْمُسْتَدِلِّ وَأَمَّا الْمُقَلِّدُ فَوَظِيفَتُهُ السُّؤَالُ لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَالتَّقْلِيدُ قَبُولُ قَوْلِ الْغَيْرِ مِنْ غَيْرِ دَلِيلٍ فالقادر على الاستدلال عليه الاجتهاد والاستدلال والعاجز عن ذلك عليه التقليد والسؤال كما ذكر الله الأمرين في قوله فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. الآية السابعة من سورة الأنبياء والآية الثالثة بعد الأربعين من سورة النحل. والله أعلم وصلى الله على محمد رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. He said, I'm going to mention a category that they fall into two categories. Masail issues fall into two categories, those which are, there's agreement about and what's required in that regard. Then he said, and a category of that about which there is a disagreement. So it requires, along with that, I mean, along with what preceded in the first category, the same things are needed. Tasawwur and taswir and iqamat al-dalil. It needs to be obviously correctly understood and pictured, the proof to be established. And also in addition to that, he said, so it requires along with that, in addition to that, a response to the evidence of the one who disagrees. This is with regard to the mujtahid, and the one who is able to deduce evidence. As for the blind follower, the muqallid, then his duty is to ask the people of knowledge. And blind following, that taqleed, is to accept someone else's saying without proof. So the person who is capable of deducing evidence, then upon him is to exercise ijtihad and to deduce evidence. And as for the one who is incapable of that, then upon him is blind following at taqleed, and to ask. Just as Allah mentioned the two matters in His saying, in the ayah, Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, ayah 7, and also occurring in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, ayah 43, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, the ayah with the explanation, so ask the people of the reminder if you do not know. Ask the people of the reminder if you do not have knowledge. And Allah, He said, and Allah knows best. And may Allah extol Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, and his true followers, and his companions, and grant them peace and security. In some footnotes they say, there have been a number of footnotes, and the last of them being the longest. With regard to the point that there is the second category of issues, that which there's disagreement about, that also requires, in addition, to respond to the proof of the one who disagrees. He said, this is with regard to the mujtahid, the person who performs ijtihad. In the footnote they say, describing what is the mujtahid, وَهُوَ مَنْ بَذَلَ جُهْدَهُ لِإِدْرَاكِ حُكْمٍ شَرْعِيٍ. A mujtahid, person who strives with ijtihad, he is the one who exerts his effort to reach the legislated ruling. Then they bring a footnote on the issue of the one who is able to derive evidence upon him is to perform ijtihad and to seek to derive evidence then. In the footnote they say, the conditions, the shurut, the conditions for ijtihad and deriving evidence are, and they mention six conditions. Firstly, that the mujtahid is an alim, person of knowledge, with regard to that which he has need of, from evidences of the legislation, such as the ayahs and the ahadith of rulings, and the nasikh and the mansukh of them, that which abrogates from them and that which is abrogated from them. Just as an extra side point here, that obviously with regard to both of them, with regard, for example, the ayahs of the Qur'an, then some of the scholars, they write separate books on the ayatul ahkam, those ayahs which contain a legal ruling, such as obviously Imam al-Qurtubi's tafsir is, that's the main thrust of his tafsir, is that, to deal with the ayahs of ahkam. Obviously it brings other things into it, but that's the main thrust of his tafsir. Likewise, Siddiq Hasan Khan as well has a book, one volume book, with regard to all those ayahs which contain a ruling. Also with regard to, and likewise they get the books, the famous books, and the famous books of the Nasikh and the Mansukh from the Qur'an as well, separate books, a lot of them. And with regard to the Ahadith, likewise you find those scholars who have gathered books with regard to the Ahadith which contain a ruling. And also books of those ahadith which are abrogating and abrogated as well. Anyway, that's the first point he mentioned, the first shart, the first condition for the mujtahid. The second one is that he is an alim, he has knowledge of whatever he requires from the evidences of the legislation. The second one is that he has knowledge of usul al-hadith, the sciences of hadith, and the science of chains of narration. Thirdly, that he has knowledge of the sayings of the Salaf with regard to those things that they agreed upon, had consensus upon, and those things that they disagreed about, so that he can follow their consensus and perform ijtihad when they disagreed. In a footnote, they say here, refer to the book Al-Faqih wal-Mutafaqih, the famous book of Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, also Al-Risala of Imam al-Shafi'i, and Al-Ahkam al-Sultaniyya of Al-Mawaradi. The fourth condition they mention for the mujtahid is that he has knowledge of the fundamentals of tafsir, usul tafsir, and the asbab al-nuzul, the reasons why certain ayahs came down, wa ulum al-Qur'an, and the sciences of the Qur'an. Fifthly, that he has knowledge of usul al-fiqh, fundamentals of fiqh, and whatever is necessary for understanding with regard to the lugha, the language, and al-nahu, grammar, so that he can pass judgment in accordance with what is necessitated by the evidences, or so that he can pass judgment in accordance with what the evidences indicate. And sixthly, lastly, that he is a person of astuteness, aptitude, and having insight, such that he can distinguish al-mushtabih, that which is unclear, and understand al-qiyas, analogy. In a footnote they refer this to al-risala, the book of Imam Shafi, al-risala. The next footnote they bring, a short one, is with regard to, and the one who is incapable of that, then what is upon him is taqleed, blind following, and su'al, to ask. They say, meaning asking who? Though asking the one whom he finds to be the best in knowledge and piety, from the scholars who are Rabbaniyin, those scholars who correctly cultivate. And if there are two equal with in his view, then he chooses between them. But as for if he blindly follows in his religion one who has no knowledge of the religion, and he is pleased with himself, with the worst of a bad deal, then he is غير معذور. He is not excused. In a footnote they say, refer to Al-Ittisan of Ash-Shatibi. And the final footnote they bring is after mentioning the ayah, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. The explanation, ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. They say, here are some issues, and they mention three issues. And the third one carries on for some time, so it's quite long. So they say, mention the three issues. Firstly, Shaykh al-Islam, obviously referring to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, and that which the vast majority of the nation are upon is that ijtihad, performing ijtihad, is permissible in general. I mean, overall in Jumla, Tanfil Jumla. Generally, as a general statement, it's permissible. And taqleed, blind following, is permissible in general. They do not obligate ijtihad, they don't declare ijtihad to be obligatory upon everyone, and forbid taqleed. Nor do they obligate blind following, taqleed, upon everyone, and make ijtihad forbidden. And that ijtihad is permissible for the one who is capable of performing ijtihad. And taqleed, blind following, is permissible for the one who is incapable of ijtihad. So what is counted is ability or inability. And a man may be capable of some things, but incapable of others. However, ability upon ijtihad cannot come about except through acquiring the branches of knowledge which will enable knowledge and awareness of what is desired. The end of the quote. In the footnote they mention it. It's been from Majmu' Fatawa, Volume 20, pages 203-204. The second issue they mention is, the second matter, the affair of the Muslim will generally be either that he is a mujtahid or a muqallib, or a blind follower, generally. And then they bring a quote, so the mujtahid looks into the works of the earlier scholars. Or they said, rather, the mujtahid, he looks into the works of the early people from the first three generations, then he gives preference to whatever deserves to be given preference. And the Muqallid, the blind follower, he blindly follows the Salaf. Since the earliest generations are more excellent than those who came after them. In the footnote they mention that when he follows the Salaf, he said, asking and seeking guidance from the Salafi Mujtahid, who looks at their, who examines their positions. I mean, he didn't just, the blind follower, he didn't just look at the, himself at them, but he takes the guidance of a Salafi Mujtahid, who himself, who looks at their positions of the Salaf. And they quote this as being reference to Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 20, page 9. And the third and last issue they say is, as for the third matter here, then it is essential to take into consideration the condition of the Muslim in a detailed fashion. So therefore I say, the Muslim will either be amiyan al-muttabi'an al-mujtahidan. A Muslim will be in one of these three situations. He'll either be just a common person, or one who is able to follow evidence, muttabi, or a mujtahid, one who can perform ijtihad. So the Muslim who is ammi, the one who is not able, the general Muslim, the common Muslim, you know, not from having no degree of knowledge or the like, so the common Muslim who is not able to examine the evidence, what is obligatory upon him is to ask the people of knowledge, those who have knowledge of the book and the sunnah. Just as Allah, the Exalted and Most High, said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, Ayahs 43-44. With the explanation, so ask the people of the reminder, if you do not know, those to whom we sent the clear evidences and the books, and we sent down to you the Qur'an as a reminder, addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that you should clearly explain to the people that which has been sent down to them, and so that they may reflect upon it. He said, he's saying bil bayyinat, that we sent down to them clear evidences. He said, meaning proofs and evidences. And in the footnote, the references to Tafsir Ibn Kathir. Then he said, and this honourable ayah indicates a number of matters. Firstly, that the people are of two categories. A category who have knowledge, and they are the Ahlul Dhikr, they are the people of the reminder. And a category who do not have knowledge, those who do not know. The second one, the second point is that the duty of the one who does not know is to ask those who do know, those who do have knowledge. Thirdly, to take into consideration in his, when he questions, what follows. And he mentions three points. That when a person, the one who has to ask, he has to bear these three points in mind. A. That the one he is asking should be from the Ahlul Dhikr, from the people of the reminder. The scholars having knowledge of the book and the sunnah. B. That when asking, he should be seeking to attain ilm, knowledge. And that is in order to repel ignorance from himself, which is lack of knowledge. And from this, we know that it is not permissible for the common person, after he has asked the scholar and heard from him the answer, built upon proof, it is not permissible for him to then ask someone else, seeking a concession from the fact that the two differ. He's gone to one scholar, now he wants a concession on the issue, so he goes and asks another one, until he can find that they've differed, then he takes the easier course from the differing. He said, because by asking the first scholar, he will have departed from the characteristic of those who do not know. And C, the third matter, is that his seeking an answer to his question should be that which is accompanied by, meaning answer accompanied by, clear proofs and text. Meaning by proofs and evidence. Then he said, mentioning the next category of the people, and the Muslim who is muttabi', one able to follow evidence, he is, with respect to his level of knowledge and understanding, above the army, above the common person, but beneath the mujtahid. They refer this point, in the footnote, they refer it back to Adwa al-Bayan, obviously the great work of tafsir of Imam al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah. He said, he will be able to understand the evidence when it is clarified to him. And he may be able to look into the way in which the evidence is a proof, and the like of that. So this person, it is not permissible for him to take hold of the saying of anyone unless he knows his proof. And it is upon him to strive as far as he is able to look into the disagreement until something appears to him to be more correct. And if he is not able to prefer anything, then in that case he puts himself in this matter in the position of the army, of the common person. And he asks the people of knowledge. And it is upon the Muslim to ask one whom he trusts with regard to his knowledge and his religion, and to follow his saying in his verdict, which he asks him for a verdict about. And he should not make his religion open to desires and lusts, such that he asks more than one scholar, just seeking that which he desires and lusts after. In a footnote they mention, refer it back to the book Al-Muwafaqat and Irshad al-Fuhul. Obviously Al-Muwafaqat of Imam al-Shatibi and Irshad al-Fuhul of Imam al-Shawkani. Then he finishes by saying, as for the mujtahid, then upon him is to examine the matter, to research, examine the matter, and to give preference to whatever the knowledge-based proofs give precedence to. So whatever becomes clear to him to be correct or to be preponderant, then he follows it. And Allah is the one who grants success. The end of the quote, in the footnote they mention, the book Al-Ikhtilaf wa ma ilayhi of Sheikh Muhammad Bazmul, slightly abridged. Then they put the conclusion, there's the conclusion at the end, Al-Khatima, conclusion. He said, that was said by the poor one in total need of Allah, Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di. غَفْرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ وَلِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلِجْمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Ameen. May Allah forgive him and his parents and all of the Muslims. Ameen. It was transcribed with the aid of Allah the Most High and his facilitation on the 25th of Jumad al-Akhirah in the year 1373 by the pen of the one in poverty before his Lord, Abdullah al-Sulayman al-Salman. May Allah forgive him and his parents and the Muslims. Ameen. And its printing for the second time was completed with the donation of the Sheikh Sulaiman al-Fahad al-Bassam. May Allah grant him a fine reward and give him the best reward for his spending his good and pure wealth for the propagation of knowledge and for reviving the traces left by Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in the printing press of As-Sunnah al-Muhammadiyya on the 10th day of the month of Rabi'ul Akhir in the year 1378, after the prophetic Hijra, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala safwati al-khalq wa khatam al-mursaleen abdillah wa rasulihi muhammadin wa ala alihi ajma'in. And may Allah extol and send peace and security and bless the chosen one from the creation and the seal of the messengers, Allah's slave and his messenger Muhammad, and upon all of his true followers, all of them. And it was printed for a third time in the year 1399, and it was printed for a fourth time with the donation of some doers of good. May Allah treat them well and bless them in it, and bless them and forgive him and his parents and all of the Muslims. Ameen. Then they end with a footnote that the slave who is in poverty, in dire need of the pardon of his Lord, the Hafi, tender and compassionate one, or the like, Abu al-Harith Nadir ibn Sa'id al-Mubarak al-Ta'muri al-Salafi, praising and sending salat, and in humble submission, humility and humble submission before Allah, the Perfect, asking him that he does not expose him in the two abodes, and rather that he treats him and his parents and his family and his teachers with his lutf, his kindness and fine treatment, subtle and fine treatment. This is the end of what the poor servant has been able, in accordance with his capacity and ability, to write down at the start of the month of Jumada al-Thani, in the year 1417, which agrees to the 13th of the 10th, 1996. And then I examined it further and added things and discarded things in various sittings, the last of which was on the day of Sunday, the 6th of Dhul-Hijjah, 1417, which agrees to the 13th of the 4th month, 1997, in Amman, the capital of Jordan, in protected Sham. And in the head there is heaviness, and in the body there is weakness, and in the soul there is sorrow, and in the heart there is grief, asking my Lord for security and well-being and relief, and for his pleasure and acceptance. Indeed, he is the best one who is asked, and the greatest one in whom hope is placed. And may Allah extol Muhammad and his true followers and his companions, and grant peace, perfect peace and security, and increase in that. Wa subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. May Allah make it a benefit to us.
Understand the footnote 124.
124.
Asking him if he finds two people. What's that? On page 119.
Hmm. 124.
Yeah. The man you do after now.
Yeah, yeah. If he finds two people. No, he has to. I mean, the blind following. Muqallid, yeah?
Yes.
If he encounters two scholars, he's got to make a choice which one to ask, basically. I mean, we've got the answer, don't choose, we've got the answer, choose which one to ask in the first place, yeah? You'll ask one of them. How is he going to make the choice? Obviously, he can't weigh up their knowledge, really. So he just does the best he can. Yeah?
The last one to the sentence as well.
Yeah. As for blindly following someone who has no real knowledge of the, you know, find somebody who's not, himself is a blind follower, some the person who's ignorant, or the mufti so and so who's totally jahil, yeah, and saying that I don't know about this, I asked so and so, and he's ignorant, just as ignorant as he is.
And then it says, what are the only I've seen?
Yeah, I mean, he's pleased with himself. I mean, doing that, he's asking somebody just as ignorant, he's not a person of knowledge, he doesn't deserve that. In doing so, he just pleases himself with the worst of a bad deal. He's already bad enough, he's doing blind following already. Yeah? But the one that he's blind following, he should at least be a person of knowledge. He's asking somebody who's jahil. Then he's not excused. I mean, the answer that he gives is not excused. He's just as bad as him. Neither of them should be asking the other. He should be asking a person of knowledge.
Am I correct in saying we shouldn't aim to be from the army? We should aim to be at least from the...
Because jahil is blameworthy. Somebody's got the excuse of it. He's jahil, he can't avoid it, he can't escape it. Then he's not blameworthy, but in general...
It's not a position we should be happy with.
No way. Not something we should be happy with at all.
How do you know when you've made that move from the army to the Muttabi'in? Just us normal guys, how would we know?
Because obviously some of the indications where he described there that a person who's got ability to understand an evidence, that, if an evidence explained to him, he'll understand it. Whereas a jahil, you can give him the issue is this, the issue is you're divorced, or the issue is you should do such and such. And the evidence is such and such. Yeah, but he won't understand the evidence. How is that a proof for this? He will not understand. What does that word, the saying of the Prophet, this, it's just words to him, he doesn't understand it. How it's a proof for what has been said, he doesn't understand it. As a person who's muqtabi should be able to understand the evidence and understand how it is an evidence as well. And therefore, if you can see that the scholars have differed, they can understand, you can see what the evidences are and understand the evidence. Have some degree of being able to prefer one or the other. He can't just himself take the text directly and derive a ruling from it on his own. But at least that he can see those scholars who have done so. If they differ, he can try and weigh up which one is preferable. If he really can't weigh up one of the other, then he is.
But would you not inevitably come to that? Would you not inevitably come to that point at some point in your quest to answer a particular issue that you're going to have to say, well, all right, I've done it this far. As regards taking it any further, I just have to take what Sheikh Al-Albani in this issue says seems to make, or what Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says, or what Sheikh Al-Bazmoud says in this. I've taken it so far, but I can't take it any further. You're going to reach that point eventually.
Very likely, unless it's the case that, for example, one scholar quotes hadith, other scholar points out that hadith is weak, and the weakness is clear. Then, and you don't know of an answer from the first scholar to that, and it seems to be just a mistake. The first scholar assumed the hadith was authentic, or to the best of his knowledge, it was authentic, but he didn't notice narrator X in the chain. Whereas the scholar second one says narrator X there. If you go this book, all books the first scholar would even refer back to, that this is a weak narrator, the hadith is weak, so therefore that is not evidence. But it's a case where obviously there are two sides, both evidence are authentic, and in one aspect one is general and the other seems to be specific in one way, general in another way. You really can't weigh it up.
There does seem to be these messiahs where, for example, Sheikh A says, and Sheikh B counters it by saying this, and the Sheikh A counters that by saying this.
Yeah.
And then Sheikh B counters that.
Yeah.
And at some point, the Muttabi says, if only I'm from the army, I'm recognising this.
Yeah, it can happen,
But then you're rewarded for striving up to that point.
Yeah.
And is it true that people from the third category, the Mujtahid, sometimes they can move down to the level of Muttabi? If there's a scholar who's particularly specified in the issue of inheritance of the woman who possessed, and he gets asked a question about this, and he says, well, Sheikh so-and-so is...
Yeah.
He's able to understand this evidence. And I've taken it as far as I can. Even though I'm a mushtahid, he knows more than me, and I can't analyse it to the extent that he can, and he says this, so...
It doesn't necessarily mean he'll be a mushtahid in every single issue. In 100% of issues, he'll be a mushtahid, no. Certain issues that he's not specialist in, or just individual, even if he's a specialist in one certain issue.
Is that not the usul with the mushtahid, that he's not going to be mushtahid in every issue? There's very few people who can be mushtahid in every issue.
Yeah, as far as I know, that's how it will be. Yeah.
And they said about Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that he could perform ijtihad in any issue. I heard this one.
Was he a muqallid?
Yeah.
No. He was above that, and they say meaning did he stick to one madhhab, for example? No. As we see from his book, and his fatwa, he'll mention the different rulings, and he'll prefer one over the other, or And he will perform ijtihad as well. Sometimes he'll take a view that differs with all the four madhabs, for example. Sometimes he'll say within the four madhabs, the Hanbali madhab says this, and what is famous, the two sayings, what is famous and what is saying, and then he'll prefer one or the other. And sometimes he'll perform ijtihad and differ with all the four. Some of them actually write books on that. The issues where Sheikh al-Islam and Taymiyyah differed with the four madhabs.
Is there anyone else like that?
Other scholars as well might know for ijtihad that there are.
Earlier than him?
Yeah, the earlier scholars.
Any later than him, do you know? Or just no matter what you give them, they will be able to make ijtihad in that issue.
I mean, contrary to what the people of Blind Following say, the doors of ijtihad have not closed. Yeah, they didn't close early on. They didn't close it with Sheikh al-Islam Taymiyyah. Somebody has the ability then, they carry on, inshallah.
Are these prerequisites for Mushtahid? Because obviously this is something the Sufis also do talk specifically about, this one issue, the prerequisites of Mushtahid. Right. Is this laid down anywhere?
I mean, there are some little books on it. I think Hassan Ani, if I recall correctly, Hassan Ani's got a book on the like of it. Ashokani dealt with the like of it. And then he actually goes through the conditions. When you first see the conditions, they look very, very difficult. You have a list of conditions, at least six, if not more than six. But when you look at the actual details there, they're not. You know, they say, for example, knowledge of the way they present it, for example, is you have to know all the ayahs of Ahkam. You have to know all the ahadith of Ahkam. You have to know, when Imam Shawkani others break it down, what you need to do is have access to them. Be aware of them, or be able to, even if you haven't memorised the ayahs, exactly how it's proved, what it proves, at least have access to them. Be able to open up the books and find those ayahs that you need. And likewise, the ayahs, the nasikh and mansukh. You can't even memorize every ayah which is nasikh and every one which is mansukh. But you've got access to it. You're able to attain it. Likewise, the language you've got access to that knowledge, awareness of it, and access to it.
Well, the commentator seems to mention the word usul quite common, quite frequently in these lists, prerequisites.
Usul al-hadith and usul.
So knowledge of the usul would be.
Yeah.
One of the keys, you have to have that here.
That's the
even if the details and the different ayat, what have you, even if you have to go to a book for that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it can't be just that you've got no knowledge of the topic, but you've collected the books on your shelf. They won't work like that.
I mean, all these books, it's physically impossible to memorise all of these books.
Yeah.
But to have the usul behind each of the different funun, each of the different fields.
Ask them, the three categories, the Ahmi, the Muqtadi and the Mujtahid, and you see that the Ahl al-Bidah and the people of Taqlid, they try and negate the middle of the two of the categories.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there any proof that you can use? Obviously, there's the ayat, like, ittabi'u ma unzila ilaykum. So is there any way you can back that up as a proof for the category of ittiba', like from the tafsir, and say, look, the tafsir shows, or the statements of the scholars show that these ayahs indicate one should do it to that. Just to make your argument stronger.
Top my head, usually what they do, what the blind followers end up doing is, they end up, whatever eyes they use, like this eye they use for taqleed, there's no, you've got to be mujtahid, we're not mujtahid, you're not mujtahid. So the only option left is taqleed. When they go to that option, or they claim, then they don't even reply properly. Who do they ask? They ask someone who himself is a blind follower. They go like the Hanafi, he asks the blind following Hanafi Maulvi or whoever, who himself, by his own admission, I'm a Hanafi. Who does not do ijtihad, has no share of ijtihad, he's a blind, total blind follower. He has no knowledge very often, at all. Yeah. And as Ibn al-Humam said in Fath al-Qadir, the taqleed is not knowledge. Or is that commanded to ask people of knowledge? With the intention of following the knowledge from the book and the sunnah. Whereas very often their intention is not. They want to know what Hanafi Madhab says, only. So where is that commanded? So on and so forth, and they're restricted. They will not hear anything from any other Imam Malik. If they come across another Imam Malik, they'll reject it. Even if it's got hadith to support it, reject it. Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, etc. They won't accept it. Even a verdict from a companion, they won't accept it.
I think I remember, because I heard a talk from Sheikh Al-Bani where he's talking about taqleed and so on, and I think I remember him saying that the asl should be that one should do it to the Quran and Sunnah, and then if you are ignorant, then you resort to taqleed, and that's like after the darura, just as you know, if you have no food, then you can eat, you know, or whatever, out of a necessity. And conversely, if you have the knowledge, if you have more knowledge, then you can reach a level of ijtihad.
Yeah. Have you taken it back the other way? Obviously, the companions, what were the companions? They followed the knowledge, they followed the revelation which the Prophet came with.
Mm.
And that's what they taught, obviously, the generation. They passed that on, they passed the lessons where they taught the hadith of the Prophet, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, would sit and teach hadith. Not just sit there giving verdicts, this is halal, this is haram, what that. You teach hadith, that's the way it's passed. And it was passed on generation by generation until ignorance grew and spread, and then. And people, you know, just stuck to the blind following, basically. Forbade anything else. That's how what's upon this nation is blind following of the four madhabs. You choose one and stick to it blindly. You're not allowed to follow evidence, not allowed to, you know, you can never reach that level.
Can I just ask this bit section on page 117? There's وَإِذَا نَفِيَ الشَّارِعِ عِبَادَةً أَوْ مُعَامَلَةً فَهُوَ لِفَسَادِهَا. And then that bit, أَوْ نَفِيَ بَعْدَ مَا يَلْزَمُ فِيهَا. I didn't understand that bit.
Yeah, nothing I understood, I don't know. Sometimes I was sort of reading it, and something else comes to my mind after. I think, does it mean this or does it mean that?
Mm-hmm.
If the legislator negates an act of worship or a transaction, then that is because of its being fasid. It's null and void, corrupt, null and void. Or, literally, if he negates a part of what is essential in it. I mean, the same thing, the same ruling. There's something essential to it that can't happen without that essential thing. If that's denied, then the whole thing is null and void, same as the first case. Overall negation, this thing is negated. Or if something essential to it is negated, it's the same, one the same. Yeah, the whole thing is negated.
Okay.
However, then the third thing, which is different though, a negation of it will not occur just on account of something recommended there being negated.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Okay. And then that other phrase were tanakku.
وَتَنْعَقِدُ الْعُقُودُ وَتَنْعَقِدُ الْعُقُودُ وَتَنْفَسِخُ. And what's it? عُقُود, what's those things called?
Contracts.
Yeah, that's the one. Contracts are rendered effective or invalid. I mean, they come into effect, or they're تَنْفَسِخ, or they're nullified. But everything which indicates that, from sayings or actions. I think by that stage I'd stop taking examples from the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Fawzan. It's a good place for some examples, I think. But,